This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Carl Anderson, president of SOAR Foundation. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with SOAR's Carl Anderson next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's crop insurance industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 490 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. It can be argued that the ability of the nation's farmers and ranchers to meet the food, fiber, and fuel needs of the nation and the world is at least partially attributed to the investment in food and ag research from decades before. Carl Anderson, president of the SOAR Foundation, sees a disturbing trend of reduced public funding for agriculture research. Following the vision of founder Bill Danforth, the SOAR Foundation has been at work to grow U.S. investment in tomorrow's food security.
SOAR was founded around 2014 by Bill Danforth. Bill Danforth was a real leader in science. You know, he headed Washington University. He started the Danforth Center in St. Louis. And he was a big believer in agriculture research. His quotes on our website, we look at it all the time. He said, you know, given the many problems confronting farms and food production now, we need the next agricultural revolution to start today. And he went on to say, food is too important to the human race to be a research afterthought. It needs to be a high priority for the nation's entire scientific community. That is really our driving mission. He started it to really support USDA research, particularly AFRI, the Agriculture and Food Research Initiative, which was created in the 2008 Farm Bill. Danforth had been a real advocate for creating NIFA and creating AFRI in the 2008 Farm Bill. And, you know, after doing that, he came back and realized we really need a advocacy effort to really increase investments in these programs, make sure they're successful. And so that was really SOAR's North Star. And it's still our North Star today, although our mission has expanded in we've gone beyond just supporting, you know, a specific research program in AFRI to really supporting the entire food and agriculture scientific enterprise. So all of the programs within USDA, so NIFA, ARS, ERS, all of these programs that play a critical role in what I think of as our food and agriculture research, you know, infrastructure. We champion research and innovation to solve agriculture's, you know, most pressing challenges. Our ambitious vision is doubling agriculture research by 2030.
So we've been talking about doubling agriculture research for a long time. So if we look over, let's say, the past 30 years, how has the ratio of public research and the ratio of private research, how have they changed in terms of dollars spent?
Well, on the public side, they've been declining for the past two decades. So we really hit our high point in the early 2000s. And since then, it's declined by one third. So 30% decline over the past two decades. We're now funding ag research at 1970s levels. So back when Nixon was president, that's how far back you have to go. From our point of view, you know, we are funding 21st century problems and challenges with 1970s investments. You know, it doesn't match up to the need On the other side, I mean, the private sector has really increased their investments in research, and ERS has done some great work in this area, showing the increase in private sector research, which is fantastic. I mean, it's great that the private sector is continuing to invest in research, but I think there's some important distinctions, because the private sector is investing in research that can be commercialized, that will help them develop products they can bring to market. There's a lot of research and a lot of needs that don't fall into that bucket. You know, a lot of fundamental research. There's a lot of crops, you know, that don't have a huge commercial marketplace. There's a lot of, I think, research that I can think of is in the public benefit around conservation, ecosystem services, you know, carbon sequestration, a lot of things that we're talking about in agriculture now around, you know, climate smart agriculture. That's research that is done at land grant universities and College of Agriculture around the country. It's not necessarily research that, you know, the private sector is investing a lot of money in.
Could you share some of those areas, as you've just alluded to? Can you be more specific on some of those areas where public research is probably the main avenue for answers that are needed today that, frankly, are being underfunded?
Yeah, I'm going to answer that, I think, in a couple of ways. I mean, I think one important thing that public agriculture research does is it helps create the next generation of researchers. So everyone working in the private sector today, or, you know, at a university or somewhere else with a PhD in, you know, crop science or soil science or, you know, agronomy or some other ag-related discipline, went to primarily a land-grant university where they were trained, where they had the opportunity to, you know, get the education and experience to be able to go out and lead their own research efforts. So I think that's a critical piece of what the public system does. Those are the folks who are going to be solving the problems of tomorrow. If you look at the decline in public research, that directly correlates to a decline in public researchers. So we went from about 8,500 researchers in the early 2000s to around 6,000 today. So again, a 30% drop in funding, a 30% drop in researchers. So we're losing the talent. We're losing that, you know, that talent pipeline that we desperately need to be competitive in the future.
At the AgriPulse Summit in Washington, it was also mentioned, Phil Brasher was moderating the program, and it was also mentioned that not only are we not spending as much on public research, but the facilities where the research is taking place, many of those are outdated. So number one, you've got to measure the quality of the facility for the research that's available. And then second of all, how easy is it to attract or to recruit new students into ag research if you're driving an Edsel instead of a Bugatti?
Yeah, I think we heard that loud and clear on the panel. You have bright students on campus who are looking at maybe a brand new biomedical facility versus, you know, a rundown ag research facility, and they're making a very quick judgment that, well, this area looks like it has the money and the resources, and maybe I ought to take my talents in a direction other than in agriculture. And I think that's a real issue.
It was mentioned during the summit that many of those labs were built during the Eisenhower-Kennedy administration, and that if you wanted to replace those facilities today, the price tag at about $38 billion alone just for capital expense in terms of facilities where ag research should take place. One more I'd like to explore. As we look at public research and private research, how has the ratio changed? Because I know there's been consolidation in the agriculture industry, and many of those companies today are talking about the billions of dollars they spend in research. So has there been a flip-flop of public to private And how much disparity is there in that ratio today?
Yeah, so there has definitely been a real divergence. So if you look at some data from ERS, you know, from about 1970 to around the early 2000s, there was pretty much parity between public and private research. In the early 2000s, this dramatically changed. From there until 2015, the last time we had data, public declined by about 30%. The private has gone from, say, around $5 billion to over $12 billion during that time.
Well, we see two things over the past several years. First of all, that the world population is growing and the demand for food, for feed, and for fuel continues to increase. We've also seen increases in production agriculture in China, certainly in the southern hemisphere with Brazil and Argentina, and also even out of the Black Sea region prior, certainly to the war with Russia. But the question is the U.S. still at the top of the heap in terms of research, public research, or who's catching up to the U.S.?
China has been rapidly increasing their investments. Around 2009, they surpassed the U.S. in investments. They are now spending over double what the U.S. is spending on agriculture research. And so they are obviously very focused on agriculture research, and I am certain that they want to be the leader, and they see it as a way that they can compete directly with the U.S. At the same time, India and Brazil have been increasing their investments. The European Union spends more than the U.S. on agriculture research. We used to spend, you know, close to the same numbers, but again, in the early 2000s, they continue to increase their spend while we decrease ours. But, you know, China is the big red flashing light. I mean, they are just investing heavily in ag research. It's not guaranteed that the U.S. will continue to be the leader in food and ag research. It's not guaranteed that new crop varieties or new innovations or, you know, new technologies will come from the U.S. They may come from China or from some of these other countries. And, you know, that has an impact on our ability to compete. I think it has a national security impact. I think these are things that we should be paying attention to.
The strength of U.S. agriculture, obviously our land and our climate. I would also count skilled stewards and the generations of production agriculture. To a degree, certainly our infrastructure has been a strength, but that's also a question if we're talking about the river transportation system and perhaps roads and bridges. But technology has been our strength as well. So a bigger picture question that is speculative, is the U.S. on a path to lose its place at the top of the production chain in the globe?
I mean, I think the short answer is yes. What I like to remind people is that the fantastic U.S. agriculture system that we have today, the abundant food supply that we have today, is based upon research that happened decades ago. It's very easy to forget that all of these advances are because of investments that were made decades ago. And if you look at, you know, our productivity, you know, the U.S. is a huge success story. Our productivity has increased by something like 300% since the 1960s, while the inputs have remained flat. But we see now that our productivity gains are declining. They're declining rapidly. And that is, you know, that's correlated to research investments. So while other countries, their production could be increasing, while the U.S. is declining our productivity. We're having a lot of debates today about technology and national security. And I think about all the new technology coming into agriculture, you know, whether it's biologicals or it's digital ag, it's, you know, satellite imagery, all the data coming off of, you know, tractors and combines. I think we want that to be, you know, driven by U.S. innovation.
Senator Patty Murray, now the chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee, said this, quote, "The bottom line is research saves money in the future and helps produce more food and all the things we need in our economy."
Well, that's great. It's great to see her, you know, talking about the importance of agriculture research. I mean, I totally agree. The Farm Bill, if you look at the latest CBO baseline, you know, the Farm Bill's about a $1.4, you know, trillion-dollar investment over 10 years. The research side of that, a little over $1 billion over that 10 years. And, you know, our point is that let's just make agriculture research play a little bit more prominent role in the Farm Bill, get a little bit more investment, but that has huge payoffs in the future. It's just vital for our future, and to ensure that we have the same kind of nutrition and food security we have today in the future requires investments in research.
In a conversation with Ranking Member Scott on the House Ag Committee, he said this is a time of the Farm Bill that we're not going to turn our back on the families of the country and we're not going to turn our back on the farmers. And he has a special affinity for the small and the medium-sized farmers to make sure that they have a safety net and that they are protected. But I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it seems to me that if we are planning for our future, not only do we need to protect the beginning farmers, the small and the medium, we also need to think about investment in those that will solve the problems of agriculture to answer those questions that we haven't even thought of today.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that's part of investing in the next generation of researchers and doing so across, you know, in a diverse workforce. So, you know, doing so at land-grant universities, at 1890 schools, at minority-serving institutions, across the whole spectrum. We need to get kids interested in agriculture research. We need to show them that it is an exciting field. This isn't your grandfather's sort of like world. I mean, this is an exciting world where there's a lot of, you know, new technology. There's a lot of, you know, exciting things that you can work on, and you can make a big difference.
A new report came from Farm Journal Foundation, and it was from researchers at Texas A&M University suggesting that global hunger and malnutrition pose significant threats to U.S. national security. Can you connect the dots between agriculture research, malnutrition, and national security, global security, if you will?
We have seen that people who are hungry in other parts of the world, that tends to lead to conflict. And, you know, if you go back to the Arab Spring, that was driven by people who were hungry. And that, you know, those conflicts, even though they may be a world away from the U.S., do have national security implications. And, you know, as we see the population growing, you know, climate change, as we see some of these challenges coming about, you know, our goal should be to ensure that we don't have hungry people, that we are, the U.S. is producing and other countries are producing, you know, enough food to feed themselves, so that we, you know, protect our own national security. It's all interconnected.
So, Carl, at this point, we have heard from a number of agriculture groups that are mentioning the need for ag research. We also can call on comments from the chair of the House Agriculture Committee, Mr. Glenn G.T. Thompson, who has said that research is one of his top priorities for the Farm Bill. Knowing that we are hopefully on the eve of writing this new legislation, What's your appeal to appropriators and certainly to members of ag committees as we start to craft this new 23 bill?
Yeah, our message is pretty simple. We need to increase our investments in research, and we need to do so in a fairly dramatic way if we want to stay in our leadership position, if we want to be competitive, if we want to make sure we have the next generation of researchers, and that we're solving, you know, the problems, we're bringing solutions. And, you know, we in the Farm Bill, we, and along with over 60 other organizations, you know, we've been advocating for $8 billion for research in the Farm Bill. And it's a big ask. It's a bold ask because, you know, research, there's not a lot of mandatory money for research in the Farm Bill. I mentioned earlier that there's a little over $1 billion over 10 years for research in the Farm Bill. And, you know, we really think that this is the time. Now is the time. You know, now is the time to make sure that we are investing in ag research and that we are, you know, setting the stage so we can be successful into the future. And so that is, you know, that's our ask, you know, that's our request, is let's get more investment in ag research. You know, now's the time to, you know, elevate research within the Farm Bill discussion. I think it's research is really foundational to all the other programs within the Farm Bill. You know, you look at nutrition or conservation or, you know, crop insurance and the commodity programs, you know, underlying all of that, is research. And so, you know, again, we're not asking for, I don't really think we're asking for a huge number. I think we're trying to, you know, make the case that we're just trying to get back to where we were in the early 2000s, and frankly, it doesn't even address I think the fact that we probably need even more investment than we had in the early 2000s. But we're trying to get back to where we were and get back to a place where we can grow our research enterprise.
Well, Caller Anderson, we appreciate your commitment to service for the agriculture industry, that from yourself and also on behalf of the SOAR Foundation. We want to thank you for spending time with us on this edition of Open Mic. Carl, it is Open Mic, and today you've got the last word.
Well, thanks a lot, Jeff. Really appreciate the opportunity. It's been great to be with you today. You know, the last word is every time you eat, every time you go to the grocery store, you know, just remember that behind all of that is research, and that is why we have the abundant food system we have today.
Our thanks to Carl Anderson, president of SOAR Foundation, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Dowling.